And so I'd like us to really get to grips with this word. And to get to grips with this word, you need to understand what's going on. So the first thing is, I'd like you to try and communicate with the person next to you without talking, as Zechariah was not able to talk. One of you come up with a message. How are you going to get it to the person next to you? There's some furious texting going on. I'm sure I've seen an invitation to tea somewhere over here. That looked definitely like tea at 4 o'clock. And yes, I'd like to come. Has anybody written anything down yet? There was a certain amount of waving and other such things. Yeah, there's some writing going on over there. It's a bit of sign language being done. I'm not quite sure whether that was hello or toilet. You do be careful about those two. Brilliant. Well done. I mean, the very simplest. I mean, just picking up a plate of food and offering it says something, doesn't it? Or waving a mug of tea. Yes, please, I'd like another one. That's it. But that's the challenge that Zechariah has had for 9 months. It was Zechariah's problem. Actually, I don't think it was Gabriel on her own, or his own, who made up that punishment. I don't think Gabriel lost his temper. If I had to pick a hole in the angel's message, I'm certain sure that God actually said he will be struck dumb. Because what the play did tell us correctly was that Zechariah could not believe that anything is possible for God. He doubted God's almighty power. And that's quite an unpleasant thing to do. That's quite a sinful thing to do. That's the wrong thing to do. You see, God is almighty. He has absolute power over absolutely everything. He created everything. So Zechariah becomes deaf and dumb because he did not believe in the message that he was given. He sinned against who God is. And Zechariah then, at the beginning of that story, is a picture of us all. Because we all sin. We all start life not believing that God is God. We all struggle to understand that God can do what we think of as impossible. Now, most of us don't have to reject an angelic messenger to come to that understanding. But most of us do reject the message of creation all around us. The glory of what is created suggests, the Bible tells us, it tells us absolutely, that this is no accident. This is not random chance. But someone took some time to design and build this glorious creation. If you get a chance over Christmas, and many of us do, go out for a walk. And it doesn't matter whether you stare into the minutiae of the hedgerow and what's going on there, or gaze at the wide expanses of a starry night. I think you ought to be amazed in the just remarkable creation that is there. But you see, not only did Zechariah reject that message, he rejected the Bible message, because Zechariah was one of God's people. He'd got the prophets, he'd got the Bible, he'd got the priestly temple and all that was going on in front of him. He had lots of messages which said, God is almighty, God keeps going, God does these things. And he still said, I cannot believe, God, you will do this. And he needed someone to open his eyes. So he had access to it all. I go so far as to say to us today, we probably have access to it all, don't we? We've got lots of messages. But I think we struggle, don't we? So let's just understand how much we struggle. On your table, and I'll bring round if you can't see one, is Mr. Scrooge's Sins and a pen. And I'm going to let you watch 2.5 minutes of Christmas Carol delivered to us by the Muppets. And I would like you to list as many of Mr. Scrooge's sins as you can find there in the screen. Can everybody see a copy of Mr. Scrooge's Sins and a pen? I'll bring them round. If you want to stick your hand up as we start, I'll bring some spares around. Here we go. So you could have had cold heart, alone, indifferent, hate, curse, unkind, wrath, grim, mean, loves money, power, sour, skinflint, greed, underhanded deeds, overcharging, poor, misery, lonely, sad, bad, fear, pride, outrage, sneer, no time for anybody, anger, nastiness, heartless, cruel, takes stuff, and is mean. not bad, really, for 2.5 minutes of a song. It's quite cleverly written, but it does point out to us just how damaging and dangerous sin can be. It's not just those big moments in life where you choose against a messenger from God like Zechariah did. It can be every day in every way. And if we're not careful, we keep getting worse and worse and worse. So what are we going to do about it? Because this is a Christmas message. And this is the account of Zechariah's life. And it turns here. And it gets better, because when the baby is born, what happens? When the baby's born, what happens? He talks again. Why does he talk again? What happened differently this time? He listened, he believed, and he obeyed. All the people are saying, no, call him Zechariah, call him after someone in the family. How can Elizabeth say that this baby's going to be called John? In those days, the man's vote was more important than the lady's. It's probably the other way around now. So they turn to Zechariah and they say, you can't be serious. You can't let this woman call this baby John. That's just wrong. And Zechariah says to all these people around him, I'm not listening to that, because I've had a message from God. I will listen to God. I believe it's true. I will obey it. Well, let's take the rest of our time just thinking about the obedience and the results of the obedience. Listen to these words that come from Zechariah's mouth shortly after that time. Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesies. And he says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said long ago through his holy prophets. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To show mercy to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, so speaking now specifically to John the Baptist, his own son, he says, you will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. By listening to the Christmas message, by believing it like Zechariah did this second time around, and obeying it, we can find joy and peace and praise. Listen to what Zechariah said in verse 68, if you have it open in front of you. It doesn't matter if you don't this morning, but it's always good to look at God's word. Verse 68 tells us that God has come to his people to redeem them. That means to pay the price that's required to set them free. Just as you and I have paid the price to liberate an awful amount of goods, I imagine, from Aldi and Lidl and Tesco's and Sainsbury's and wherever else you go to shop, somebody needs to pay the price for us to be free from sin. So Jesus Christ has come to do just that. Verse 69 tells us that God has raised Jesus up as the one who is strong to save. I don't know if you saw the story this week of a couple lost in the Brecon Beacons up the back of a very blind valley. And there's one house at the top of that valley. And the mountain rescue team basically phoned up the owners of the house and said, hey, we need your house. And they know what that means, because they're friends with the mountain rescue, which means they drive up to their house, they park everything in the front, they open the front and the back doors, and they walk right through the house and up the mountain, because that's the way up the mountain. And their kitchen becomes the base of operations for the rescue. And it was interesting, because that evening they were decorating the tree and the house and everything was being done nice. And then there's this picture of about 15 mountain rescue folks with stretchers and all the kit parading through next to the half-decorated Christmas tree. You need someone prepared and strong to save, don't you? You need someone who's done the training and who's got the know-how and is ready to go up the mountain to get you. The text tells us that God has raised Jesus up, sent him to us as the one who is strong to save, who is able to rescue us from all those sins of Mr. Scrooge, day by day getting worse, from the big sins of ignoring an angelic messenger, if ever that chance comes our way. Jesus Christ came to pay the price. Jesus Christ is strong to save. Verse 70 tells us that God spoke a long time ago and told us it would all happen like this. Because God doesn't want people to miss the boat. God hasn't arrived as a surprise. It wasn't a phone call out the blue like it was for those lady, that family and up the mountain. God didn't just arrive and say, hey, it's tonight, there's somebody up the mountain. God has been saying this same thing every day, all the time. He has been speaking to mankind through creation, through his word, through his people, every day and every way. It's not just getting worse. God is calling out to us and saying it can get better. There's nothing worse than being left out of the joke, is there? Feeling so left out and confused, missing the boat. That feels horrible, doesn't it? You rock up at the Christmas party and you weren't told it was fancy dress, or you were told it was fancy dress and it wasn't. Or you turn up at 8 o'clock and it was 7 o'clock and everybody's moved on from the restaurant, or they've finished the starters and they're already into the main, whatever it is. You feel awful when you miss the boat, don't you? Well, God doesn't want anybody to feel like that. He doesn't want anybody to miss the boat. God has faithfully been saying and teaching and giving this message all the way through human history, and he's asking you today. He's asking you today, do you understand that you need saving? Do you understand that Jesus Christ is here to redeem and is strong to save? You see, God made a promise to rescue, and that rescue is important. We can't save ourselves. God has said, I'll come and do it, and he came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 74 tells us that God wants to fulfill the promise. God's Old Testament people, time and time again, went away from God, and he called them back. They ended up in the clutches of some horrible enemies, but God, against the odds, saved them. You can read time and time again in the Old Testament of how it happened. Well, it can happen for you today. However good your life or mine, there's always something that's wrong, isn't there? We're never perfect. And if we get even close to being good enough, soon it slips away, doesn't it? Well, God has come to redeem his people. Jesus is the one who is strong to save. This message is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it's here for you today so that you don't need to miss the boat. The lifeboat is passing through the deep water in which you're in. God is reaching out to you now. Don't let him go past without holding out your hand and taking hold and being pulled up into that boat. The great thing is this. You won't need to be whisked off downstairs for medical attention. You won't need to be carried off the mountain in the stretcher to that kitchen at the back of the house where you're brought back to life slowly and then into an ambulance and off for checkups at hospital. That's not the way it works with God. When he reaches out his hand and when you take a hold of his hand, verse 74 again tells us that we are then immediately enabled to serve him without fear. Immediately enabled to serve him without fear. This is remarkable. Friends, the service we're asked to do by God is not the hard work of the world. It's not the chasing after nothing and the endless things Tom told us about that didn't satisfy. The Lord Jesus is a kind and gentle master. He knows our every need and asks only of us what is best for us and for his glory, and indeed what he then gives us the power and ability to do. All of this is in Zechariah's praise. All of this is what it means to listen, to hear the message, to believe it, and to obey it. And so he called the baby John, because John means God is merciful. And the mercy that John brought from God was the proclamation, Jesus is here. And 30 years later, when John had grown up, And when Jesus had grown up, Jesus arrived in the desert where John was. And John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the one you can hope in. He's the one who knows your pain. Jesus is here because God is merciful. Jesus is here because he is God. He's powerful to save. He's come to redeem. What if this is all true? What if it's open to you? What if it lasts for real, even when Christmas is through? For me, for many of the folks here, for the carol writers as well, that's what we believe. And so we can sing joy to the world. The Lord has come.